The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Mario Rosenstock standing in for Matt Cooper on The Last Word. We're joined now by Charlie Weston, a personal finance editor with the Irish Independent. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mario. How are you?
A number of interesting topics to talk to you about today. Companies that generate most complaints and queries to Ireland's consumer watchdog. Which companies generated the most complaints and queries, Charlie?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody has their list of favourites, but according to the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, that's the body that protects consumers, the CCPC, Air topped the list of shame on this one for the most complaints and queries in the first 6 months of this year.
Still?
Air, yeah. Even after, you know, they had terrible problems during the pandemic because so many people were working at home. They had issues around broadband and service levels. But they're way up there again, number one. And remember, only last April this year, a district court judge described Air's consumer policies, let's say, as a disgrace was the phrase he used. Now, they've since changed that. He said there was a deliberate policy of trying to prevent consumers from logging complaints, and the manual that the staff were using wasn't customer friendly. They were trying to get people not to log official complaints. So Air say they've changed it since then, but they're still featuring up there on top of the list, a list of shame, followed by our old friends Ryanair. Issues around refunds, delays, cancellations. Now, that was particularly, you know, an issue in the last while, Mario, when there was that big crowd strike issue with the systems going down. There was lots of cancellations. A lot of people caught in the middle of that. Didn't find, you know, a lot of people complaining that they didn't get any great response from Ryanair. They got stuck in airports in Bordeaux and places like that and struggled to get a response from Ryanair. And then more telecoms companies after that. Number three will be Sky, followed by Vodafone. Harvey Norman is up there as well. So it tends to be an awful lot of complaints as well about kind of to do with cars and telecoms, cars and any home improvements work, you know, employing a builder. These tend to generate the most kind of queries and complaints.
Some of the complaints are generated from the inability to talk to a human being.
That's often the case. You ring up and you get an answer phone, or you're endlessly waiting. You could be, you know, yourself. You just have to put aside time and put the phone on speaker while you're waiting forever to get through to people. It doesn't seem to be a priority. And we don't take these consumer issues seriously enough, in my view. The Competition and Consumer Protection Commission reckons they need much stronger powers when it comes to the consumer side. They need to be able to fine companies on the basis of their turnover instead of the small fines that are dished out. That case of Air, where I talked about, the district judge, the fine was €7,500. The Competition and Consumer Protection Commission took Tesco to court recently over unit price displays. They weren't properly displaying unit prices for goods in their stores. And the fine amounted to about €1,000. The money was donated to charity, but just not enough, really. You know, I mean, okay, there's bad publicity. Companies that like to run their operations well don't want to be fined any amount. But the CCPC are saying, look, we need much more power on the competition side. They can go in after companies. They can use whistleblowers. They can do a lot of things. Their powers have been strengthened on that side, but not on the consumer side.
What about banks, Charlie? Do banks come up in the survey at all, in the sense that, like, walking into a bank now, trying to get anything done personally, forget it. Impossible. Yeah. You'll speak to somebody who's 18 who just doesn't have any interest in, well, you know, can I withdraw 2,000 in cash?
Yeah,
forget it.
Even with the digital banks, can you get somebody human to talk to if you've been scammed and, you know, you need to speak to somebody immediately? The bank complaints tend to end up with the ombudsman. So we have a lot of regulators. Like, for example, a lot of the Ryanair complaints would end up with the Commission for Aviation Regulation. A lot of the Air complaints would end up with the Comreg people, the telecoms regulator. And then the banking insurance company complaints, they go through the financial services ombudsman. There's a lot of dishing out goes on as well. People might first come on to the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, and then they'd forward them on to somebody else to deal with it. But of course banks are complained about, you know, and you're talking about big items there as well. At least you do have redress. It's a pretty cheap way of getting redress to go through the ombudsman. The problem is it can take forever. If it's a complex case, it can literally take years.
Okay, I'll move on. This is an interesting one because this concerns, again, the housing crisis, and it concerns first-time buyers. So tell me this, Charlie, about how some brokers are suggesting that first-time buyers should be allowed to access pension funds to purchase homes. This is an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. It's quite a controversial one, and it's probably a bad idea, really, Mario, because, you know, yes, there's a struggle for first-time buyers to get on the housing market, but there are plenty of government schemes out there now to help people. The issue is not around demand and helping people getting the money together. It's just we're not building enough blinking houses, you know. There's new figures out from the Central Statistics Office this morning showing that for the 20th month in a row, prices have gone up. They're up by about 8.6% in June compared to June last year. So the brokers did an interesting survey. They asked a selection of brokers, do you think it'd be a good idea if people could get, if they had a pension, if they could get access to some of the money they have in it and use that to help them get a deposit together? And about half and half thought it was a good idea. The rest thought it was a really bad idea. On balance, it's probably a bad idea to do something like this in Australia. But, you know, the fear is that this would just, you know, make the market go even faster than it's going. The property
That's
market.
What I'm thinking. I was just using my David McWilliams economist hat, Charlie, and I was thinking that maybe if you announce legislation, for example, that people could access pension pots, sure, it would drive the price of houses through the roof.
And they're already going up too fast, I know, as it is. And you would just hear
huge house inflation.
It would just be massive. Yeah.
It would be like an SSIA situation applied to houses.
It would, exactly. You know, okay, look, it might encourage some people to take out a pension who haven't got one if they were allowed to take 10, 20% of it to use as a deposit. Might be positive in that sense, because we do have an issue around people taking out pensions, particularly younger people. But most younger people wouldn't have a pension. And it's for those that do, it's probably just going to add fuel to the fire. You're absolutely right, Mario. So, not so sure it's a great idea. It's an interesting question that was asked by the independent trustee company to a bunch of brokers. And you know, they didn't survey a huge number, but, you know, half and half, they reckon some think it's a good idea, others think it's just a terrible idea.
And as you already kind of alluded to there, another tangential story, there's a prediction from the Society of Chartered Surveyors, would you believe, that house prices will keep rising over the next year, which will put even further squeeze on buyers. It's hardly surprising, Charlie.
It's not really, Mario. You know,
do you agree with
it? We're in an absolute mess. Yeah, look, if we have prices rising at nearly 9% at the moment, the Society of Chartered Surveyors surveyed estate agents, and the vast majority of them reckon prices will keep going till the end for another 12 months, probably another 4.5% increase in prices. Look, it could be even more. I see Davy stockbrokers today saying they reckon there'll be even further price rises. They looked at an interesting case study as well. They took a kind of scenario of a nurse and a garda, both in their job about 10 years, on a good whack, €107,000 combined, 10% deposit. And they looked at five different counties, the commuter counties around Dublin and Cork as well. So you're talking Meath, Kildare, Wicklow, Galway and Cork. In only one of those counties, Meath, were those people on €107,000 able to afford to buy a new three-bed semi-detached. Just one of those areas, Meath. And to do that in Meath, they had to use the government's shared equity scheme, first home scheme it's called, where the government can take a stake in your house and you pay it back later. So it just shows you how dysfunctional the market is. Just one of those counties that could afford it. Now, if it was a terraced house, the two-bed terraced house, they could probably afford it all right. But, you know, this Garda and the nurse couple, they had a shortfall of almost to €80,000 in, for example, in Wicklow, you know, where house prices are mad, you know. So just the house is a mess. I'm the sick. Property market is a mess.
I am sick to the teeth of this, Charlie. I mean, for as long as I can remember on my podcast, I've always been saying, you know, you can talk about the wealth of society all you want, but if the nurse is married to a Garda and they cannot afford a house in the capital city of their own country, the guard who takes care of you, or supposed to, on the streets of Dublin, the nurse who salves your wounds when you are injured, if they can't afford a house, it's a dysfunctional society.
It's a real sign of distress in the housing market, really, when that happens.
Okay, we're going to leave it there, Charlie. I know you had one more story on the pressure on the central bank to ease strict credit limits on credit unions. We'll do that another time.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.